Okay, let's start. We're learning Hilchos Arla.
Bav Amud Aleph 6A1, three lines down.
Three lines down, not to L'Rabim. So it said in the Mishnah Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, not to L'Rabim. If you planted it for the purpose of the Rabim, we're going to learn now. He planted in Rishus HaYachid for the purpose of giving and delivering the payers, the output to the Rabim. So the Chacham say it's Chayav and Arla, and Rabbi Yehuda piped. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not. So the Gemara says, Miklafash Vitasin Drabonin. So now the Rabbonin are opposite of what they say in another place, in Hilchas Negoim. Taman Inon Armin, over there in the Mishnah in Negoim, where it's talking about Yerushalayim and Chutz La'aretz. If you have a house in Yerushalayim or Chutz La'aretz, and it gets a nega, so the Chachamim say, Ein Metamim in Negoim. It's not Metame. So let's forget about Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, we understand, is not a chuza. It says Eretz Achuzaschem in the parasha over there. So
it has to be individual shvatim, because so,
right, in footnote 8, he brings the pasuk for Nasati Nagat Saras, but base Eretz Achuzaschem, Leviticus 14:34, right? So, the houses in Jerusalem are not possession of an individual, right? We said that yesterday, that right. He holds the Shalayim was Lonis Kalkala Shvatim. Memela, it's not Shayach, what? It's not Shayach Saras on those houses. So then, and over here in our Gemara, it says what? That if it's the houses of Yerushalayim, not the houses, if it's the trees that are planted in Yerushalayim, are subject to Arla, even though
it's not private.
It's not private, right? Hochinu namen hochin, right? So exactly, you know, what exactly this stira is, whether it's a shaila in sukkim or whether it's a lumdisha question. There's a whole tumult in the Mepharshim of exactly how to learn the question. But the generic way to learn the question is, here they treat the Rabbim as if it's, you know, it's not the Rabbim, and here they treat it like it's an individual. So what's going on? That's the Gemara's general question. So Taman, then my answers. Vash Aloy Habayis, it says in the Parshim Nagoyim, the one whose house it is. So it's very specific. It's very, very, has to be designated for you. So in Mela, it's not your house. If it's in Yerushalayim, you know, you're living there, but it's not your house because it belongs to the Tzibur. Prat Yerushalayim Shilchol HaShvatim. Pram Hocham Untatem. It says you'll plant Mikol Makom, whatever it's for. It's a general planting. So even if it's planted for, to live with the Rabbim, the whole question was a Shvar question. I mean, you know, you think about it, the whole question made no sense.
Public-private, man?
No, these are two separate issues. One issue is, in other words, one issue is you're looking at the house and you're deciding, is this house belong to you?
Right.
So it's not your house because it's London's Kalkula Shvatim. But untatem, what's untatem mean? Untatem means you planted it, so I planted it. So what's the problem here? That's why it's Shayach Arla, because I planted it. Like, where is an exclusion? The fact that I'm doing it for the Rabbim, that's not excluded from Untatem. Untatem means that if I'm planting it, that means I'm planting it for myself. Where do you see that in the word Untatem? I don't know. I thought that the whole question was very difficult. Anyway. Let's go on. Miklafo Shitasi Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a difficulty in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, right?
So if somebody buys a house in Yerushalayim, it doesn't belong to him?
He has rights of use, but if somebody comes up L'Regal and wants to sleep there, you have to let him sleep there also, I think. Yeah?
Even nowadays?
I don't know about nowadays. Nowadays it's different. What?
Yeah.
You
can do that to revive on
Shemitah
year.
I think that's a Shaila and a Mishnah. Isn't that a question between Shammai and Hillel? I seem to recall it was something like, I don't know.
It because all plants in a certain way are not the Rabbim on Shmita. You know, if you pass through that seventh year, the chelik of your planting is not the Rabbim.
Well, no.
Well, not really.
The tree
is for you, and it just happens to be it's hefker.
The food on
it. It's hefker. It's hefker, but you planted it for yourself. Yeah, okay, it's different.
It's not
hefker.
It's what's on the tree.
Yeah, it's a hefker, rachmona afkere in that case. Okay, tamanu amar. Any wash? 1 second. Let's start again. Meklafoshitasi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is backwards. Tamanu amar. Any wash? Shomati ela beis hamikdash shavat. By the goyim. He disagrees with Rabbanan as far as Yerushalayim is concerned. No, not the city, not the houses in Yerushalayim are excluded, only if you had a Negag appearing in Beis HaMikdash. That's the only place that's excluded. But the rest of Yerushalayim is included. So you see what?
I didn't get that. What did you say?
He's disagreeing with HaChachamim in Negoyim. Yeah. HaChachamim said that any house in Yerushalayim is excluded from Negei HaBayis. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's included in Negei HaBayis. The only place that's excluded is the Beis HaMikdash, the highest of the high.
So he doesn't believe that it's for the Shvatim?
Oh, so that's the question. So either you're going to have to say he holds it's Neskalka L'Shvatim, or you're going to say, even if you hold Lo Neskalka L'Shvatim, but it's still good enough. Let's see. Rabbeinu maintains. Let's look at 15. Rabbeinu maintains. Although Jerusalem was not divided among the Shvatim, he's going that it was not divided, right?
Yeah.
And its houses are considered communal property. They are subject to tzaras because the plural form of achuzaschem encompasses even publicly owned property,
okay.
Right? When it comes to the temple site, so then that's a special day. So let's just focus on his shita. So he holds that's still considered yours. That's personal enough, right? So, but over here when it comes to our law, he says it's excluded. So what's going on here? Which way, which side of the fence is he on?
The pattern should be like a
chuzah. Right, it should be the same thing. It should be chayiv. So the Gemara says, "Tamanu amar ani lo shamati ela beis hamikdash." Over there, when you notice his language, he says, "I didn't hear." He's quoting somebody else. He's not quoting his own shita. Which is interesting. When you say ani lo shamati ela, means we're saying you're quoting your Rebbe. I only heard this from my Rebbe. So he's quoting his Rebbe. That's not his personal shita. I only heard means his Rebbe holds that the Yerushalayim is included in Negei HaBayis. But he himself personally, he holds that just like the Rabbim is excluded for Arla, then the Batim and the Yerushalayim will also be excluded. So it's two different people, right? Anilo Shemati Yolabay Samitah, Shemua Amra, Baram Hocha, B'Shem Garmei Amra here, but when it comes to Arla, he's saying his own opinion. Okay?
Is he saying that the Yazara, or not the Yazara, the Alishkas, or whatever, actually became Kamei to Mitzras, or Nigei Bas Fakim, or is it just a potential? Halakhically, it applies.
He says it does not apply. Ani lo shamati ela beis hamikdash. That's the only exclusion. That is the only place where Negei HaBayis do not apply.
Does not apply.
And Yerushalayim.
So that means that Beis HaMikdash means literally just the actual Beis HaMikdash, but all the Lishkos would be.
You're asking something out of my knowledge zone. I'm assuming the whole Beis HaMikdash would not be applied. I don't think it makes a difference whether it's the Lishka or anything. I think it's the fact that it's the Har HaBayis that gives it a certain Machna Kedusha. Machna Shechina. I'll say Machna Shechina. I'll be safe. Okay? Nobody owns that. Okay? That's all Halak. I mean, one Lishka, you're going to tell me some of the Lishkos are Chulin. You're right. I mean, if one of the Lishkos had a Negei HaBayis, you're asking me a question.
You can't
Would it have?
Well, no, I was going to say
you're asking a question.
Where the Kohen Gadol was, maybe that's considered as the Rishus, maybe it's his own.
Right.
He's got the exclusive right to be there.
Maybe. Okay.
If you think about the purpose of the Nega in the house was to find treasure, then that made sense in Yerushalayim because those houses could possibly have had hidden treasure in it too.
Okay, if that's the whole purpose of it, yeah.
I like that reason.
Yeah, they shaitan and Rashi. Okay, Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we're on 6B. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. We have another solution to the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Again, the contradiction is Rabbi Yehuda said only Beit HaMikdash was excluded, but Yerushalayim has included. And when it comes to Arla, he says the Noitel Rambam is Pater. So what do you do with the Stira? So he says Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Tiftara Kerab Shimon Ben Elazar. The Tani, the Brisa says, Rav Shimon Elazar has a position in what Rav Yehuda's Shita was. Rav Shimon Elazar, Mishmai, he said in the name of Rav Yehuda, I know, Teil Aramim is Chayiv Arla. Okay, this is different than our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah says in Teil Aramim, Rav Yehuda holds his Potter. His position was that it's Chayiv in Arla, okay? If it comes up by itself, that's where he's going to argue. And he says it's Pater, I think. Our Mishnah says Chayiv. No? Olameyelov, what did our Mishnah say? Anybody remember? Let's go back and take a quick peek. What does it say? Ha'olameyelov, the last case in the Mishnah. Ha'olameyelov, Chayiv Arla. So over here, he's saying Olamei Elof Patrimin Arla. So in that case, so that'll be where he's arguing. In other words, there is an argument, but he has a change in the argument. When it comes to L'Rabim Chayiv Arla, just like the Tana Kama, right?
What does he do with the word Netzat Tam? What seems to indicate you the one have to plant it. If it grows by itself, you shouldn't have to.
Well, okay, we're going to deal with that in a second. Hanotei L'Rabim Chayiv. So that's Bershus HaRabim Pater. So when you plant for the Rabim Yerchayiv, but that's only if you're planting in your Rishus HaYochid. But if you plant in Rishus HaRabim, then even he's going to say you're Pater. Because why? No, Bershus HaRabim Pater. When? Hanotel HaRabim Chayiv, the Gemara explains it. Hanotel HaRabim Chayiv Benotel B'Tosh Shalom. When you're planting in your own private property. But Bershus HaRabim Pater, that's B'Shagazal Karka. So I'm planting in this public street without permission, right? And that's stealing from the Rabim. So there, you're going to be Pater. Okay? So that's going to be the... So do we explain this now? So we understand now all the different the positions here? Do we speak it out over here? So let's see over here. So, let's see, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, maintains in footnote 8, right? The phrase, Yelachem Areilim, connotes the Arla applies only when the tree belongs to you. This excludes a tree planted on stolen property. Okay, that'll be the Miat. The Miat of Yelach. One second.
What?
In
other words, he plants a tree in Rishus HaRabim.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's considered, it's farther from Arla. Why? Because it's considered as though he caused that, he stole.
Because it says that Yolchem Arelim, it says in the Pasuk.
Right, so does that mean if he's mafkir it, it gets a different din, or if it takes on
mafkir it, do you say? If he's mafkir it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a difference.
I don't know.
You know, he doesn't own it to be mafgarit. It's like a funny case you're making up. So I go into the Rishus HaRabim and I plant a tree, and I'm stealing from the Rabim by planting a tree there. You're telling me I own that tree? I don't think I own the tree.
No.
All right. The rabbis, however, do not expound the term lachem to you as denoting ownership. Therefore, they say that even a tree planted on stolen property, whether it's stolen from an individual or from the public, is subject to Arla. Okay, so that's very interesting. So when it says in the Mishnah, a tale of Rabim is Chayiv, that's talking about when it's even when it's a Rishus HaRabim. We talked about this when we were learning the Mishnah. We're trying to get exactly clear the case. So the Tehillah HaRabim, it makes no difference, according to the way we're learning now, whether it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes a difference. If it's in Rishus HaYachid, you're Potter. I'm sorry, you're Chayit. And if it's Rishus HaRabim, then you're Potter, because it says Lochem. All right, so the Gemara then asks, V'yesh Karka Nigzal, how could you steal Karka? Like on the Zikin question. Karka in an exalus. So the Gemara says, Amar Pilaf, V'yesh Karka Nigzal, Yesh Yiyosh LaKarka. Which means that even though...
That's being mafkir.
No, if you hold Yiyosh, it's not hefkir, yeah. But
stealing it from the public.
Maybe that's what Stili was going.
Yiyosh, so what does it mean, Yiyosh? What does it mean, Yiyosh? So in the footnote, he goes into this whole thing, because normally Yiyosh doesn't make a difference by Karka. So he says that the Yiyosh here, either the Yerushalmi's Chalak on the Bible, and Yiyosh does work by Karka, or another approach is to say that the Yiyosh here means that when you've been on a piece of ground so long, that's nishtaka shem bailov. It means that the original owner's name is no longer associated with this property. It's been so long that it has not been in their family that no one remembers it as, you know, the Shulman. It means that the terminology yiyosh here, because yiyosh per se doesn't apply by karka either. Therefore, yiyosh here is being used as nishtaka shem bailov. Means that the original owners are no longer associated with the karka. At that point, even the karka is also nigzelas. So there is a case where karka is nigzelas, if it's completely nishtaka shem bailov. That's the way the footnote seems to explain.
That the karka was stolen from the potelik because he planted in the potelik.
Okay, that was one case. There's also a case where it's in the Yishus HaYachid. The Gemara wanted to know what's the case of stealing from a yachid, and the Gemara says that's where it's the shtaka shem bailov. And is that not right?
I don't know. Where did it say something about stealing from a yachid? I must have missed it. I thought we were only talking about
otherwise the Gemara is a little shrair, right? What's the Gemara talking about? Yiyosh? How is it Yiyosh if it's Rishus HaRabim to begin with? That was your question, right?
Yeah.
One second. Let's see. Let's go back here.
According to what he says on top here, says in our case, therefore, since the public presumably abandoned any attempt to reclaim the land on which the tree is planted, it is not deemed to be in their position, so the tree is exempt.
So you're saying Yiyosh refers here not to an individual, it's referring to the Rabbim?
Yeah,
that's what it means? Okay. I didn't understand that. Once the public, you're right, it says it in footnote 10. Once the public abandons any attempt to reclaim the land no longer deemed to be in the possession of the public. Okay, I stand corrected. You're right. Okay, so we mentioned Gezel Karka Renegeya planting it in Rishus HaRabim, and when the Gemara says Yiyosh, it means the public gave up on trying to reclaim the property. Okay, good. Very good. Shkoya. So the Gemara then ends off with two statements over here, with Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yoshia, Maisi, Natias, Mechus, Laris, Vigushayim, Nuts of Loin Baris. So he brought over some saplings which he had planted in Chutz La'aretz, and he brought them into Eretz Yisrael with the ground still attached to the roots. So the rule is if the tree can survive with that ground, so it's still considered as if it's still growing. So you don't start counting when you put it into the ground as if this is year one. Like if it had grown for 2 years, let's say, in Chutz La'aretz, you bring it into Eretz Yisrael and put it in the ground. No. I'm saying it's not considered. It's already grown. It's not like it's been replanted. It's still growing.
But as it grows, it's
not. That doesn't matter.
The first year of that count starts when.
So, the oiler prohibition does not apply to trees planted outside Eretz Yisrael. Since these trees were planted outside Israel and only reaffixed in Israel, they are exempt from Orla.
Oh.
They're exempt from Orla completely. Okay? And Rabbi Yossi...
Yonah.
I'm sorry. That was what Rabbi Yossi did. Now, there's a machlokas why he did it. So Rabbi Yonah says, L'sochro shonim, that he was doing this to gain the years of the Orla, like we just explained. To be potter. This way he won't have to count it, right? That was 12. And according to Rabbi Yossi, L'sochrei Ravoi, he disagrees. He says as far as Orla is concerned, let's see over here. See, the problem is like this. There is, like we said many times already, there is an Isra Orla and Kosh Laretz. So what do you mean you're bringing it in to gain that in Eretz Yisrael it won't be Arla? It was Arla. It was Arla the first year it was growing in Eretz Yisrael also. So either you're going to have to hold that they hold that there is no Isra Arla in Eretz Yisrael, or you're going to have to say again what we keep saying, one's Allah HaMishmi Sinai and one's the Oraisa, and therefore they can't be Mitztarif somehow or other. The two things are not Mitztarif. It's a little difficult. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says that as far as Orla is concerned, right?
Rabbi Yonah said
they're Pater,
right?
Rabbi Yonah said, he'll be Pater from Orla completely. Rabbi Yossi says, L'Sachrei Revoi, that he's gaining, that it's not going to apply, that the Revoi won't apply. Because it says in footnote 13, he holds Orla prohibition does apply outside Eretz Yisrael. The fact that the saplings were planted outside Eretz Yisrael does not exempt them from the law of Orla. The Ravoi obligation, however, does not apply in Chutz
La'aretz.
How old were these trees that he replanted?
So take whatever example you want. Let's say 2 years. They were planted for 2 years outside Eretz Yisrael. And then he brings them in with the dirt and puts them down on the ground in Eretz Yisrael. So... let's go to the last sheet that we were just talking about, Rabbi Yossi. So the 1 year left in Orla will apply, right? So you had 2 years outside Eretz Yisrael, 1 year inside Eretz Yisrael, all have Orla, but the fourth year will not have Netzer Ravoi, because since the 2 years that it was in Chutz La'aretz, it wasn't Shayach to Netzer Ravoi, so therefore it won't be Mitztarif to Ravoi in Eretz Yisrael either. That's one mahalach over here.
What do you do with Netzer
Ravoi? You take it to Eretz, to Yerushalayim, just like you do with Maaser Sheni. Uh-huh.
So that idea that we've had in the past where Netzer Ravoi doesn't occur unless you have Arla prior to it, right? In this case, what's the chiddush? You didn't have your 3 years of Arla.
No, this has 3 years of Orla. According to Rabbi Yossi, you have 3 years of Orla. Some of it is outside, some of it's inside. So you have 3 years of Orla. Right. That's exactly the point. Okay. Adkan. Good catch, Rabbi. That was a good catch. I messed up on that one.
Okay, let's see how...